Hello, friends. Welcome once again to everybody's favorite therapy theme podcast. This is This Changes Everything. I'm Sarah, and with me, as always, is the guy who feels like you'd be so good at, like, cuddling up on the couch and watching Christmas or music movies with, it's Therapy Jeff. Hi, Therapy Jeff.
Hi, Sarah. Do you know what my favorite holiday movie is?
Don't say Die Hard.
It is not, okay, but it might be just as bad. So
okay. Is it?
Prepare to judge.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to guess? I don't know if you can guess this.
Is it like holiday, but not holiday, like Die Hard, like I just said?
No, it's holiday.
Holiday. Okay. Is it Jingle All the Way?
No, I'm just going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
It is The Family Man. Do you know this movie? Okay. So it's your boy, Nick Cage.
I'm in. Sold already. How have I not seen this? Okay.
It's Nick Cage, and he's like a rich, wealthy bachelor that just like sleeps with whatever woman he wants. And he's like leading like his best life. And he's just so hedonistic, doing whatever he wants. And then all of a sudden, a like Christmas ghost comes by and says, like, what if you would have made the decision to stay with that first like girlfriend you had that you were actually in love with, but you dumped because you wanted to like be a little playboy? And then all of a sudden he like wakes up in that life. It's sort of like a sliding doors moment. Ooh, of if I would have
like
made that decision.
Or Christmas Carol, like Ghost of Christmas
exactly.
Past,
yes.
Sort of mm-hmm. thing. All right, I'm into this. Yeah. I have not seen this.
Oh my
I'm
going to
have
so
like
good.
A Nick Cage marathon. There's a couple other Nick Cage movies that have been on my list. But yeah, I want to see that one.
Yeah. And it takes place on like Christmas. So he spends Christmas, you know, alone or with that family. Or it's a whole thing. Then he has to kind of like reckon with like the life choices he's made. Anyways, I'm not going to spoil it, but I highly recommend.
And I love the actress who plays his wife. I'm terrible with names, so I'll never guess her name in a million years. But she's so great.
She is
like boss energy, yes. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very sweet.
So everybody's screaming it right now. I love when they do that. And no, I'm not going to tell you, so you can just have a fun guessing.
I have a feeling our producer might look up who plays the leading. Yeah, we'll see. who is your – what is
it's
your –
It's Taya Leone.
Taya Leone. Yes. So hot. Yes.
Oh. So hot.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas or holiday movie?
My favorite holiday – this is going to be one where I'm not going to remember what is my actual favorite one. I'm going to say something else and then like, I don't know, 2 days from now I'm going to be like, no, that's the one. That's my favorite.
I'm going to guess yours since you tried to guess mine.
Okay.
Is it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Oh, my God. I would love that movie. That's an A-plus movie. I mean, now I want to pick that one. But
Is it Elf?
You people would think that, but that's probably my favorite one to quote, but no.
A Christmas Story.
No, I don't like that one. Kind of freaks me out.
Right? He's, freaks me
like,
out, too.
There's some scene in that. Maybe it's the one where he's on the slide.
Getting pushed down the slide. Yeah,
yes!
Yeah. Oh, my God. It like, haunted me.
That scene and the scene from E.T. where they're in the tubes, those are just like – nightmare material for anybody who is like around my age.
What about Gremlins?
That doesn't count. That's like a holiday
that's
movie.
That's a holiday movie. It takes place over Christmas. No?
Is there like a Pixar or Disney holiday movie?
I'm trying to think.
It feels like there should be. But that should be my...
That should be your pick. Okay, go ahead. What is your
official pick? Oh, I know. I know it. It's so freaking good. The Christmas Chronicles with
– What is that?
Oh, 10 out of 10. If you, I'm yelling into my microphone and now it's like yelling at me that I'm being too loud. It's with – oh, okay. What is his name? Overboard. Goldie Hawn is married to – who's Goldie Hawn married to? Who's so awesome and they have the cutest relationship.
I want you to get this one. You just talked about this. I know
yes,
you can
I
do
did.
It. I know you
I
can
just
do it.
Talked about this. His name.
Captain Ron. Does that help?
It's really just helping me. Oh, I want to say Chris Elgis, but that's not it.
Oh, you're so close.
I know.
You're so close. Kurt.
Russell.
Yes.
Yay. We did it, team. Okay. You guys all have to see The Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2. It's heartwarming.
What year is this?
Very recent. Like, I'd say within the last 8 years, both one and two have come out. And they're phenomenal and super heartwarming. And it's kind of like one of those sleepers, like Paddington Bear, how like Paddington Bear 2 is like the greatest movie of all time. Christmas Chronicles is... I'm not making that up. This is Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb that say Paddington Bear 2 is the greatest film of all time. If you don't believe me, watch it.
Okay.
We're not talking about movies or anything like that today. We are talking about the holidays, which is what got us started on this subject. And I feel like your movie, The Family Man, is like the perfect segue into our conversation today, because there's a guy who could have used this episode, maybe.
Yeah, he deliberately avoided family and starting a family because he's just like, I don't want to fucking do this. I'm going to be on my own and live in my penthouse apartment and nobody's going to bother me. That's how he sort of handled his family issues, which is a way you can do it, right? That's allowed if you want to just sort of avoid. But we're going to talk about like a holiday survival guide for all of you that are heading home for the holidays. We know Thanksgiving is right around the corner, which is going to start all the holiday. And there's Black Friday. Is that a holiday now? I think it feels like one. It might be. You know what I would love a Black Friday sale at is my local fucking grocery store. Why? There was like Black Friday sales getting like all the food and snacks I could love, then I would love.
It's the exact opposite of that.
It is the exact opposite.
That they drive up the prices, it feels like.
They do, yeah.
Around the holidays.
Very unfortunate.
Can a pumpkin cost how much?
Right?
Yeah.
Why, Sarah, why do you think like the holiday season exacerbates family issues? What do you think is doing that?
You know, I think so much of our disappointment and our feelings of sadness or anger or frustration stem from wanting things or people to be different than they are. I want this person to not act like that. I want this situation to not be this way. I want, you know, fill in the blank. And so much of that is our expectation of things. You know, I think we have this expectation of how we want the holidays to be or how they should be or maybe how they once were. And when it doesn't match that or even just almost like anticipatory grief of like knowing that it probably won't match that just like it hasn't in all seasons of the past and that's coming, like you just... It can be not pleasant for a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking is that like you might want to turn this into a deliberate grief process.
Yeah.
Your family is not going to be the family that you want. They're not going to be the type of people that you want them to be. They're not going to relate to you how you ideally would like. And because of that, you have to let go of this expectation. I mean, I guess you don't have to let go. You can still try to get them to act the way you want them to, even though it's probably a losing battle on your end. But
maybe it's get rid of the or still have the expectations for what you want for the holidays, but quit going to the same places that don't give you those things to try to get them.
Say more about that.
So you say you really want a connection and closeness on the holidays. Don't go to the people in your family who don't have the EQ to be able to meet you there, give you that. Maybe spend this season with friends or volunteer with people who are also maybe missing that or looking for that and really grateful for somebody showing up in that way.
Yeah, no, it's a good point is to like kind of try to figure out what is the emotional capacity of each of your family members and what to actually realistically expect. This is a lot of what therapy is like a lot of the times when you're talking about family and parents or even relationships, romantically, friendly, whatever, is what would a realistic expectation be for these people? And are you okay with that? How can you accept that? What are you going to do with that? How can you grieve the fact that you're not getting what you wanted to get out of your family or relationship? And there's, you know, holidays, there's so many rituals around holidays. that are just sort of in, like burned into our brains. And we typically, most of us get together with our family during holidays, or at least we used to. And there's also like, there's a feeling, I think some people have a depression narrative that's attached to the holiday season. The holidays coming up, that means I'm going to feel depressed because I'm not going to get my needs met, or it's going to remind me of not getting my needs met, or I feel alone or not connected to enough people. And they kind of like brace for the depressive episode to come, which could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. You know what? That's even with a lot of those, you know, I think my favorite Christmas song, I get a lot of heat for this, is Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Ah, that's mine too. Why do you get heat for that? I love it.
People tell me it's not even a song, that it's more just talking. And I'm like, oh, that is – okay, Jeff, did we just become best friends? I will totally look like ignore the camping stuff for the fact that you and I can sing along to Christmas Wrapping together, which is such a gem of a song.
Oh, my God, such a gem.
I have been – I remember when that song would come on the radio, like right around this time of year when I was younger, and I would like have my tape in the tape deck ready,
me too,
like end of summer to record it so I can get the whole thing. Yes. And it would be like, and I like run over to press record so I can like learn all the lyrics. Now looking back, that song is rather sad and depressing. And I was in a way like leaning into a depressive holiday narrative starting at a very, very young age.
It is a little sad and depressing.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the end, it's like, okay.
It's
you know,
okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Be,
but
yeah,
still, majority is just like, yeah, Christmas sucks. I'm going to have to be by myself. Like, here we go again. Ugh.
Exactly.
Never works out.
Side note, do you remember that band Save Ferris? That ska band? They cover that song, but they change it into a Jewish song.
I'm so in.
Yeah, look up Save Ferris's Christmas Wrapping.
I mean, this is
A plus. Yeah.
Just combining all my favorite things here. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking all about the holidays, but here's another thing that's fantastic for the holidays. That's Uncommon Goods. I mean, everybody has that person on their list where they're like, what the heck do I get this person? They're impossible to shop for and they have everything. Well, I guarantee you, Uncommon Goods has something that they do not have. They have all of the coolest stuff and the most interesting and unique products I have ever seen.
Yeah, they do. And they're also – the thing that I like about them, especially for the holiday season is they're not some big box store with all the same stuff. And when you get stuff, you're supporting artists that are small and independent businesses.
Yes.
So it feels like it's like going directly into the artist's pocket, which we love to see.
Yeah, and I love when like they'll have like ceramics and then you like click on for the story about the ceramic artist and you like I love that kind of stuff. So it does feel like you're getting something unique and shopping small, but super convenient and like you get to sit at home in your PJs and shop for everybody.
Exactly. From art and jewelry to kitchen, home and bar, they have something for everyone. And you can get 15% off your next gift. You can go to uncommongoods.com/TCE. That's uncommongoods.com/TCE for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So there's a depressive narrative and we want you to ask yourself if that's coming up for you and if that's something that you want to kind of like, you know, try to change or be open to experiencing it in a different way. What can you do mentally, emotionally, physically to actually have a different experience?
Yeah. You know, whenever I find myself in a place where or with a client who has this story that they're telling themselves, I'm a big fan of a little narrative therapy and rewriting that story and even doing it in like that third person. I never remember which one. What if I like go, Sarah is
that's a third
going
person.
To, okay. Yeah. See, I'm not an English teacher. Third person. right. First person would be me talking. I get
there,
it.
You
I
got
get
it, it. Got it.
So you write it in third person to really tell a different story. T- tell your holiday story. You know, Sarah finds connection with, you know, friends and is making sure to do the things that she has on her like Christmas to-do list. Sometimes we like wait for other people to, I don't know, check that list off. Or I remember when I was in a relationship with somebody who I felt like I wanted more out of, I would like sit back and wait for them to do the thing that I wanted them to get, basically wait for them to meet my needs, but not tell them, which then always made me feel disappointed. Sure. So I was like, no, if I want to go look at Christmas lights and go, you know, sip some hot chocolate, and then I'm going to do that. And you know, not wait for somebody else to make these things happen.
For sure. Exactly. So we're saying, like, try to take control of your holiday situation best you can. But I know that some people feel like they are not in total control of it, and they are, it is their duty to go spend time with their family. And so we're going to get a little bit more specific. If you find yourself in that situation of being forced, having forced family fun time during the holiday season. And one of the questions we want you to ask yourself is, are you the drama?
It's so important to ask.
Yeah. Cause we, I mean, Sarah and I probably think it's, you know, we would agree that it's everybody else's fault and you're not to blame, but maybe there's a possibility that you're contributing to this. Like, you are part of the dynamic. So you're going down there, kind of like we were saying with, like, are you manifesting a depressive time during this holiday season? Are you also manifesting some of the drama because you're ready to fight? I know that when I go down and I see my family during the holiday season, I'm just like, let's fucking go, assholes. Like, I'm just ready to tear them apart. Or at least a part of me is ready to do that because I've been sitting on this frustration or anger, or I have some very unresolved anger or sadness or despair or something. I'm going to take it out on my family because there's a part of me that feels like I want to make them feel bad because they have made me feel bad. So I'm like locked and loaded when it comes to getting into a fight and causing the drama. And I'm scanning for reasons to be dramatic, or I'm scanning for reasons to disagree with somebody. So if you are like me and you're like ready to go, ask yourself if that serves you and everybody else.
Yeah. And I would imagine you come in, if you're like in that defensive position, you come in with the vibe of, I have my armor on and my weapon in hand, which is a very different energy than, hey, I'm just here with no, you know, suit of armor. Right. No agenda. I was telling Eli this, you know, he has such a different family dynamic and family situation than I do. Like, they all enjoy the time that they spend together. They feel really fulfilled and better than when they got there, which is often not how it was in my family. It wasn't how it was for my parents when they would go hang out with their parents. I saw that over and over, that going and hanging out with the family meant you left like in like worse than you came in. I was telling Eli the other day that I am just now, after a year and a half, almost 2 years in the relationship, not I don't want to say triggered, but like not, I have let go of that. I've put down the armor and the weapons. I don't, I've realized that it's been a peaceful interaction enough to where my, that default system doesn't need to pick up the armor and the weapon every time. And it took about, I was really thinking about it. It took about, I don't know, somewhere between like 25 to 40 times of hanging out before I was like, I'm excited about this. There was always that little bit of like anxiety or worry or hesitation or like bracing myself before, and not with anything that his family did. They did absolutely nothing. It was my experience and my past, you know, family interactions that brought this, you know. And then now I realized, wow, I'm like really excited and looking forward to going out to dinner with everybody. And that took a long time. And if you would have asked me a year ago, 2 years ago, if I would be here, I would have not believed it. I would have been like, no, I don't ever want to do anything like that. Now I'm so excited to go spend like a week at his family's place in Florida for Thanksgiving.
No problem.
I'm like sad when I leave.
Aww.
I know. So it's possible. And it really is like I had to change that narrative. I had to tell myself, you always go and you always feel better. This isn't like how it used to be. It's different now. And I had to really be aware of that and have those kind of talks with myself to try to undo that.
Yeah, it's important to have that awareness, that understand that you're bringing that armor, that you want to change and be open to a different experience. And this is like a classic sort of a corrective experience that you had 25 to 40 times where you eventually got to a place where it became a really healing experience, having good times with his family and connecting in really sweet ways. And probably helpful maybe that it's more his family and not your family. So you're able to kind of like drop a lot of those, right? Associations.
Totally. Yeah. I don't know if this would, if you could take this same energy and like that I now have and if it would be the same going into, I know it's wonderful when I hang out with my own brothers and like that is definitely changed. And so, yeah, different there, but you know, when, to go back to that question of, am I the drama? Is there a way to almost like self-test or put your, like answer that question?
That's a good question. I think so there's one way to do it, which might not be a good, reliable way to do it, where you could ask for feedback from the family, but they would all point their fingers at you.
100%.
Usually family members don't like to take accountability and they want to like point their fingers at everybody else. So maybe not, you can't really trust that. You could try to ask some like objective observers, maybe your friends or a therapist. Like explain the situation to them, let them know what your history is in these situations and ask them if they think you're doing something to contribute to the drama. But you can also ask yourself when you're down there, when you're hanging out with your family, and this is something that you should probably ask yourself. We've talked about this in like romantic relationships. Are you triggered or are you not triggered? Because if you are triggered, that means you're defensive. You're going to be in fight or flight mode. You're going to like, you're going to do something to probably create some sort of drama. So you're most likely the drama, not always, but like you are contributing to the drama, at least if you're triggered. If you're not triggered and you're in that wise mind that we've talked about a bunch, chances are you're not the drama. So if you're triggered,
yes.
Get the fuck out of there and untrigger. Yes, you're contributing to it. You probably know that you're not, though, if you're like feeling – being not triggered means that you are compassionate with yourself and with other people. You understand or you're curious at least about everyone else's perspectives. You can see that things are multidimensional and nuanced and not black and white. That means that you're in your wise mind and you're just sort of observing – and witnessing what's going on. You're still participating in it maybe, but you're not hijacked by it like you would be if you're triggered.
All right. Well, let's take a quick time out to talk about one of my favorite sponsors and my go-to solution when I do not feel like grocery shopping. The holiday is a crazy time and I do not want to be thinking about anything else. So I use Green Chef to handle the meal prepping and the cooking. And maybe you've seen my Instagram post recently. I've been showing how like I do my secret hack, which is get the family 4-pack, even though there's only 2 people in my family. And then the next day I got lunch and everything. And I just enjoyed that when we went skiing and had my little lunch, like when we were done with the day, thanks to Green Chef. Easy breezy.
Look at you. I've gotten like a little fancy with my Green Chef meals. I get salmon and tilapia, scallops and shrimp. Yeah. I'm getting real seafood with Green Chef, and it's working out perfect for me. Also, just FYI, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. And we love switching between the brands. And now you all can do that because both brands you can get with a discount with us.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Yeah, this is the one that has the keto-friendly one, and Eli's been threatening to go back to that. So I love when I don't have to like invent new recipes for whatever his, you know, meal or like eating thing is this season. So Green Chef is the solution.
Yeah, we think that you should go to greenchef.com/60TCE and use the code 60TCE to get 60% off plus free shipping. Again, that's greenchef.com/60TCE and use the code 60TCE to get 60% off plus free shipping.
Yeah, and tell them you heard it here. We love that. And anytime you guys use our codes, it supports our show. All right. Yes. Now back to it. There is a quote that I love. I have it on a magnet, and I try to remember this, that said, "Peace. It does not mean being in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means being in the midst of all those things and still being calm in your heart." Mm-hmm. So that is what I try to remember in those situations. Like, is this a place of, am I coming from a place of peace right now? I'm in the chaos. Mm-hmm. Can I find this like calm in my heart? And that may be like taking a time out and going for a walk or taking some deep breaths or going to look at some Christmas lights or like whatever you need to do to like chill out and find that calm to then go back into the storm and maintain the peace.
Yes. Yeah. And you probably have to do that multiple times
You're
with your family during the holidays. So we want you to really know what your triggers are they come in all different forms, right? When you're with your family. For me, I'm going to feel tense in my body. I'm not relaxed in my shoulders or in my jaw. That means that I could very well be triggered. I will notice that I'm waiting for one of my family members to say something really fucking stupid. That means that I'm probably pretty triggered. I don't feel comfortable. I feel attacked. I feel like this isn't a safe environment. Like, those are all ways that I'm feeling triggered. And so I need to think of all the ways that I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to call a friend. I'm going to play a game on my phone. Or maybe I can tell my family members, if I have this connection with them, that I am feeling triggered. I'm feeling anxious. Can you help me feel better? And hopefully they can help me do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's also a tough one. You have to have a family on board with.
Right. And maybe there's a family member.
Yeah,
maybe,
there's one. Yes. And you know who's really great at this? Younger family members. Mm-hmm. The younger generation seems to get it. If you're I am really triggered right now by the, they're like, yes, what do you need? Let's handle that. They are good with the self-care. And so, yeah, shout out to the younger generation who's not white knuckling it. I do find that this is what I tend to do to survive is be like, I don't know, try to be in that wise mind on my best behavior, just like, but it almost feels like I am like white knuckling it, like not taking the breaks I need to take a deep breath or to decompress. I'm like going in and holding my breath and just like in it. Mm-hmm. And then what happen is I survive, everything's fine, but I crash hard afterwards, where I am either really very raw and very like sensitive, like, you know, Eli says anything and I'll bark at him, or, you know, because I just need my own space and don't know it, and didn't get enough of it in between. So that is going to be my goal this year, is to try to find those breaks a little bit more, so I'm not just go, 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 and then crashing at the end of the holiday season and needing like a week of alone time to recover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I support that goal. That's a really good one to have. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do it without feeling, and I am saying this, listen, people, I tell people this, how to do this. I understand on paper, you know, and conceptually, theoretically, how to do all this. But we are people too. And when it comes mm-hmm. down to doing this stuff IRL, mm-hmm. it is so much easier said than done. Mm-hmm. So you often hear me talk about my personal stories with doing the things that I know I help clients do all the time.
Right.
But mm-hmm. here we are.
Here we are.
Yes. So I don't want to do that this season. I want to take a few more of those breaks, but I tend to feel very guilty. Mm-hmm. Like I can't, it's almost like I'm okay sacrificing my happiness. I'm kind of comfortable and familiar with that. I'd rather do that than have anybody else be like, oh, Sarah's not hanging out, or oh, where, like, and feel mm-hmm. disappointed, or Eli thinking like, oh, why I want her to be here, not right. doing her own thing, you know?
Right.
So how do I get over that therapy, Jeff?
Sometimes there's like a choice that you have to make where you're going to either not make a boundary and just sort of do what you feel like you should be doing, what you should be doing in that relationship, which will cause you to resent the person or resent yourself, resent the situation, or you can make that boundary and feel guilty about it. Sometimes those are your only choices. Do you want resentment that might last for a long time, or do you want guilt that will actually go away? Like you might feel guilt in a more like acute, intense sort of way, but at least you make the boundary, you feel guilty, and then hopefully you start feeling better afterwards, instead of like choosing not to do anything about it and just resenting your family or resenting the person.
And usually that guilt is coming from an expectation or belief that I have in my head that isn't actually real. And if I were to ask Eli, hey, do you feel upset that I went and like went on a walk or went and did this? He would probably be like, no, I didn't think about it.
Exactly.
And I was having fun playing pickleball with my brother or something. I'd be like, okay. So,
yeah, no big deal. So it's like you're saying, it's good to check in with people when you're feeling guilty so they can be like, no, you should be like, it's totally fine. And so you can start to feel less guilty about it. And it's also, so we've talked about, we think that you should make a plan. Like if you get triggered, these are the things that you should do in order to get untriggered. We think that it's okay to be helpful, but not too helpful. So figure out like how connected you want to be with the family and everything that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like Sarah said, find a person that you can trust and stick with, probably somebody from like the younger generation.
Very good at this.
And it's okay to avoid people. I think that you have to figure out who are the people that are going to be the most triggering and how can you take some space? How can you make sure that you don't get into like some deep, ridiculous, stupid conversation with them that you know is just going to piss you off? This doesn't have to be the environment where you're going to try to convince everybody to think the right way about some political thing or world event that's going on. I know that you feel compelled to do that. Nobody's open to hearing you about that. Nobody's here to like have their mind changed. You're not the one that's going to finally present the facts that are going to change everybody's opinion. This isn't the venue to do it. So if that is possibly going to happen with somebody or some people, just fucking avoid them is what I think.
And you know, let me run this idea by you. Maybe this is cuckoo crazy. Sometimes I like an idea that like shakes things up or gets you to look at things different. Mm-hmm. What if you just like went with everybody being cuckoo crazy and made like a crazy family bingo? And then like your own bingo card.
Okay.
And you'd be like, this is what I expect. Because now we're kind of going through expectations and kind of turning it into a funny thing instead of something to be mad about. Mm-hmm. So like this uncle is going to say something that is racist. Mm-hmm. Put it on the bingo card. This aunt is definitely going to ask you why you don't have children and da 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 bingo card. And like then if you like, I don't know, black out the bingo card, you get give yourself a little treat or something like that. Then like you win even when you lose.
Yeah. And it sort of reminds me of one of my favorite stupid phrases that I think maybe came out of the pandemic, which was, oh, I didn't have this on my 2023 bingo card.
Correct.
yeah.
All right.
So make sure that there's a blank space, like a wild card space for all those wild things that you didn't expect. Right. I do like that. You're like entering into it with a playful expectation. You know that it could very well go sideways, and you're not taking it personally is the intention, right?
And then you're almost like looking forward to like, come on, I just need them to say something racist. Let's go.
And then, you know, you can like share that with all of your friends who are playing their own bingo game with their families, and whoever wins first gets bingo, and it's a whole thing.
See, yes. this is like, you know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing, I think.
Yeah. And it goes into like the advice of like, you know, pick your battles. So that you don't get sucked into it, or pick your battle so you can win the bingo game. make sure to like take breaks. And if you want, get the fuck out of there. Like right. if this is all way too overwhelming and you can't be playful about it and you get sucked into a bunch of bullshit and it's raising your anxiety, yada, yada, like just leave. It's totally fine. Sarah and Jeff give you permission to get the fuck out. Yeah.
And there are a lot of things that you can just do that. Like if it feels like, oh my God, it's so stressful to get everybody gifts, just don't do that. I made a conscious decision when you're like, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do Christmas cards. I'm just not in the right place to be able to like, even just collecting everybody's address this year, it seems too overwhelming. You know how many people came to me and said, oh, where was my Christmas card? Mm-hmm. Zero. Mm-hmm. Absolutely zero.
Yeah,
people exactly. were like, oh, I'm so upset that you didn't give me a Christmas card.
Right.
Why was I adding so much pressure and like stress, you know?
Yeah.
For something nobody else cared about. It's just me doing it.
Yeah. Try to figure out what you can tolerate, what you can handle, how you want to participate and stay in there, stay in those places and understand that there's going to be some expectations that are put on you or projected onto you. And it's up to you if you actually want to accept that.
So it's holiday season, but it is also soup season. And when it's soup season, I do not just eat that by itself. I'm not crazy. I eat that with the tastiest thing ever, and that is my bread from Wild Grain. You know, I'm very picky about the kind of bread that I eat and get. Mm-hmm. And the best bread place in Denver just went out of business.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, some people are sad, but I'm like, okay, no prob, because I have Wild Grain where I get to make like fresh from the bakery bread right out of my own oven. It is absolutely fantastic. They have so many things. And now, I know maybe you guys have tried Wild Grain in the past where they just, you know, will send you whatever is in your box. Now you get to customize the box. So if you're somebody like me that is obsessed with their everything sourdough loaf, you can get like 4 everything sourdough loaves in there. No problem. If you're somebody who loves the pasta, you can get all pasta and free croissants.
Yes. It sounds like the best bread place in Denver is at Sarah's place. Honestly.
It actually is. That is 100% true. I think I went through half of the sesame sourdough loaf last night. I made some pasta and it was like a really juicy red sauce. Mm. And I had to just like bake an entire loaf of bread just for me. Eli's not even eating bread. It's just me.
It's not uncommon for my meal to be bread and that's it. And it's so convenient because I can just take the frozen bread, throw it in the oven for 25 minutes, and then voila, beautiful smelling bread that fills my belly. And now you can fully customize your Wild Grain box, like Sarah said. You can get any combination of breads, pastas, pastries you like. If you want a box of all bread, all pastas, all pastries, you can have it. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE to start your subscription. You heard me right. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE. That's wildgrain.com/TCE. Or you can use the promo code TCE at checkout.
Yeah, delish. Okay, now I'm hungry.
Sarah, did we get any questions sent in?
We sure do. We have some holiday themed questions that from some of our listeners that maybe you guys can relate to. This one, we're going to start off like, you know, on a more serious note here, I guess. This one like touched my heart. But it says, this will be my first holiday season without my loved one who passed away earlier this year. I'm dreading the emptiness and sadness that may come up. How do I honor their memory while still finding joy and meaning in the holiday season?
Yeah, this is one of those things. A lot of times it can take a full year to really grieve somebody that you've lost because you have to go through all of the stuff, all of the things during the year that reminds you of them. And the holiday season is typically a way that you're reminded of people that have passed away. So it kind of depends on where you are in your grief stage and where everyone else is as well. I hope that you can talk to the other family members there and talk about the memories that you had of this person, talk about the history that you all shared together, talk about your favorite things about them, sort of like allow them to be in the room spiritually, energetically with you. That's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah.
I absolutely love that. Yeah. Just because somebody is not there physically does not mean that their presence is not very much felt, especially around holiday times. There are ways to still, you know, honor and kind of be with that person, like, and set some intention. You know, I think about recipes as it doesn't have to be like a recipe that they made or that it was theirs, but did they have a favorite meal that you can like remember how they, I don't know, even if it was like gross, how they always ate that food and they would have it all over their beard and something you can all laugh and like share that memory together. And yeah, that's really special. I think that it's always important to remember the amount of grief and sadness that we feel over the absence of somebody is equal to the amount of love and the depth of love and care that we had for them while they were alive. And so it really shows how much we love them when we have all those sad, I miss you feelings.
Yeah. So Sarah and I are saying like, create emotional space and mental space to actually get in touch with those feelings and think about them. Maybe even ask yourself how you think they would want you to spend the holiday season. You know, they probably want you to be happy and joyous and celebrating. So you can kind of like do that for them. But it might be, if this is the first year without them, it might be sad. It might be lonely. It might be a little depressing. And it doesn't have to mean that it's going to be depressing and lonely the entire time. There still will probably be like times where you're feeling good and having fun. And I don't want you to squash those times down. It's okay to laugh and have a good time and at the same time be sad and grieving somebody's absence. I know that those feel like opposite feelings and that it's hard for them to exist in the same body or at the same time, but it's totally normal if that happens.
Yeah. And you can think of that exercise that we've done in a past episode where you hold one feeling in one hand and one feeling in the other hand and kind of bring those together. Anytime we have those mixed feelings, it can feel like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, holidays, it feels like even if the person that we lost, you know, it didn't die around the holidays, those big moments and the moments that are often like, I don't know, memories or times when memories get made because they are usually when we're celebrating a ritual or a tradition or something like that. Those are hard when somebody is missing. And how can you maybe create new rituals that still incorporate that person? You know, even though I'm not very close with my dad's side of the family, his parents were really big on going for walks, and we would always go on walks like Christmas morning together. And I could always remember that being really nice. And then when, you know, they weren't part of really my family anymore and I created boundaries with them, one of the things that went away were those walks. And it has been something that I had to like kind of talk myself through to say, you could do this thing, like remember the good things and still take these, like a walk is not like, you know, just belongs to that family, right? You know, like you could do that thing and still, I don't know, have like your own special tradition, even if it's part of a, of something that maybe you don't want to be part of anymore.
Sure.
Take what you want from the relationship.
Yeah. And honor them, you know, make space in your heart for them, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do we have any other questions?
Let me see. Okay. Jeff, you've mentioned your experience with toxic family dynamics. And Sarah, you've talked about the importance of setting boundaries. I have a family member who consistently crosses boundaries and makes hurtful comments. How can I assert myself and communicate my needs without causing a rift or escalating the tension during holiday gatherings?
Yeah, you know, somebody, so my experience of this, so my sister one time called me, like she views me as the problem, which is fucking crazy. Can you believe it? Me and my sister and the rest of the family, we used to take these like big summer vacations together, and we were all going to Maui together. And we're all looking forward to it. My sister and her husband and her two kids. And so she calls me a few days before. She's like, hey, Jeff, I know that sometimes when we're on vacation, we're all together, we get into it, we get into fights, and it's really upsetting. And I can predict one of the things that we'll probably get into an argument about. And I want to make a request of you, Jeff, to just shut the fuck up, to like not go there with me, because I'm feeling so incredibly sensitive and guilty and ashamed of this specific thing. And so she was like, my kids are being little turds right now, and they're really pushing my buttons. And because of that, I sometimes appear as if I'm being like a very bad parent, because I'm like reactive and I get into fights with them. And I'm afraid that I'm going to get into a fight with my daughter, and you're going to be sitting there like a little smug child and family therapist judging the shit out of me and being like, you know what, maybe you should react this way to your kid because what you're doing isn't working. And so she's telling me this, and she's kind of being an asshole about it, but very vulnerable. And she's making like a really honest request. And it is exactly what I have done and will continue to do, where I'm just like, actually, Nicole, I don't have kids myself, but right.
Yeah. I hate you in that moment.
Yeah. It's the last thing any parent wants to hear, especially from their little kid brother. Right.
Who's also a therapist. Who lives
in Portland. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
And so she was like, can you please not comment on my parenting? And she was really vulnerable about it. And I was like, of course. I like that you're asking me this beforehand. I am a good person. I want to see myself that way, at least. So I'm not going to make any comments, no matter how much I want to. And then we go on the Hawaii vacation, and it's like 8 days long. It's super fun. And I did not piss her off and make a comment on her parenting until the very last day. Okay. And I was just like, I can't fucking take this anymore. But I knew what I was doing.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't surprise me that you waited till the very last day when you knew that you wouldn't have to deal with any of the repercussions from saying that. That is so little brother energy.
Yes. 7 out of 8 days, I was the perfect little brother. That's pretty fucking good. It would have been a lot worse if she wouldn't have made that request. So if you can, I would recommend maybe calling a family member that you know you get into it with and making a really vulnerable, honest request and seeing if they can, like, because they probably don't want – I don't want to get into that fight with my sister. You know, like, she's right. I should just, like, shut the fuck up. This is so dumb. So see if you can do that with one of your family members. Yeah. What do you
think? And then if you know that they consistently have crossed boundaries and made hurtful comments, then you go in with the expectation that they are going to do that. But let's see how high road like you can be. Let's like put it to the test. All right, here we go. Let's see if I can not be reactive or just make a bingo sheet. And then the other thing I think is important to remember is, are there ways that you may be turning the volume up? Maybe like, are you the drama kind of thing? If you recognize that you are, I don't know, using alcohol or like drinking more to manage your feelings or get through with the relatives, then maybe recognize or like have an awareness of how that may make some things more challenging, like being able to take the high road or let some things go, or, you know, so things like that are important to be aware of, how alcohol or substances may be contributing to
good point.
Family dynamics as well.
Yes. All right. Good luck out there, everybody.
Good luck out there. Don't forget, you can give us a ring-a-ding-ding. Our number again, 313-338-8828. Is that it?
313-338-8828. That is correct.
Woo! Nailed it. Remembered it. Yeah. So give us a call and you guys can leave us your questions. We will answer them on the air. We love hearing from you guys. And we'll keep answering your questions if you keep asking. So have a wonderful holiday season and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.